This podcast is not safe for work and will feature movie spoilers. It will feature scenes described of a graphic nature. It will contain language which most listeners may find offensive. Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. This is bonus episode 268. I'm your host Duncan McLeish. Welcome to the show. Up on this Saturday episode, it's another one of those listener choice episodes. You guys have selected one of three movies that I put up from Netflix that dropped about a year ago or within the last year that I've still to get around to be honest. And we landed on Wounds. And that's what you're going to be getting, a review of that movie coming up after the first break. Before we get to that, as always, let's recap where we are. We are almost at the end of the week. Tomorrow is our final episode, rounding out this pretty fucking great week of podcasts Under the Stairs action. Tomorrow, we will be looking at another one of those 88 films slasher classic reviews, tackling disc number 31 in the collection. And then Monday, assuming everything goes according to plan, we will be closing out, as safe to say, the long-awaited final segment of the Russian Roulette franchise retro on the Phantasm series. We'll be doing Ravager, which I'm looking forward to getting kind of recorded down, to be honest. They don't usually go with as much of a gap as this, but because it landed during the summer series, my guest is on the summer series, plus he's an essential worker at the moment in a completely different time zone. I mean, he's over on the far, far side of America. So Mr. Watson will be joining me, making his formal podcast Under the Stairs debut ahead of the summer series to close out that particular series with me discussing Ravager. So that is happening on Monday. On Thursday next week, we will be doing Movie Club. So if you still have to get your review in, you have until Wednesday. So don't delay, get it in ASAP. So yeah, that's all the catch-ups. Now, the last thing I want to say is that we are in a transition period. We have been in a transition period for a while away from SoundCloud. We moved over to Anchor back in February this year, and I will be kind of decommissioning the SoundCloud feed for this, which no one uses anyway, to be honest. There is no real SoundCloud feed anymore, but I know some people still check out SoundCloud for the episodes, download and play from there. That'll be getting discontinued probably within the next week, and everything will be available through everywhere you usually download or listen to podcasts, but the main feed will be Anchor. If you don't know how to get to that, it's on every single episode feed now. Just follow the link right through to our page on Anchor and you can download the episodes there, play them directly through the app or any of the other apps available. So yeah, just a heads up, I'll probably mention this on the next couple of episodes, but I imagine within the next week, SoundCloud will be completely discontinued, mostly because the bill's coming up on that one and I just don't use it the way I used it before. So yeah, just a heads up, you might want to pivot away from that. Final update, my house has been getting worked on for about the past 2 weeks and it's made additional content difficult to record. I've been able to put out the episodes I want to put out, but ultimately not on the level for the Teapots Collective stuff that I wanted either. So as a result, I've had to delay certain things. The big thing I've delayed is Where to Begin with Giallo. It's been delayed over a week. It's half recorded and there's half an episode still to record, to be honest. So I'm going to push that into next week and you're going to get that and Opera Omnia next week. So you slight delay on it, but it will be worth it. I'll be talking about the Pajama Girl case, as well as your reviews of Spasmo. So yeah, that will be coming next week. Once again, apologies for the delay on that one. But you'll also be getting a little bit of Opera Omnia, and we'll be discussing Free Fire, which I'm fucking super excited about. So there we go. Ultra long intro to this episode. Don't know why, but yeah, it's probably worth just giving you all the updates as we stand right now. Still getting really weird emails from this Able Worry character. So if you are on the Facebook group page, just come forward and admit who you are. And also, I don't know how you knew where I was yesterday. I'm a wee bit creepy, but there we are. I can't remember posting anything on social media about that. Very, very, very strange. The world is a strange place. Well, we get into Wounds. Well, we discuss this movie. I've got a bone to pick for you listeners coming up right after this.
Want to learn more about horror directors? With a lighthearted look at three of their movies? Meet fearless podcaster Gore Blimey.
I've been unsettled by bats in the past and startled by parrots, and I've even been known to jump at the odd cockatoo.
Discover horror films that are classics and others, too.
There's a topless aerobics massacre, an exploding rock singer, cannibals, nude martial arts, a deep-fried prostitute.
But it's not all silliness. You'll get proper movie breakdowns, opinion, and background information, too.
Yep, in the 80s and 90s, Jeff Stryker was huge in gay porn. In every sense.
So if you're a horror film fan, come and check out the Trilogy of Terror podcast at strangeanddeadly.com or find it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or on your podcatcher.
One of those people that has a certain charisma and a certain style, and I'm just hoping one day he'll rub off on me.
The Trilogy of Terror podcast, where we try three times harder to give you the willies.
These college kids left a cell phone there. I went through it to see whose it was. You don't want to see it. You don't want to see it. It's awful.
We have been something.
I'm scared. You're scared too.
You know, if you ever need to talk, I'm here for you.
You're acting guilty as shit.
And welcome back. So you've just heard the trailer for Wounds from 2019. This is available in the UK on Netflix. I believe it might be Netflix or Hulu in the States. Can't guarantee that that is the case, but it went straight to streaming platforms. This is the return of Babak Anvari, I think is how you pronounce his surname. He did Under the Shadow, which was a movie that fucking floored me when it came out a couple of years ago. An incredible piece of haunting storytelling in or around a really around a time of extreme turmoil that none of us can really get our heads around in the Middle East. If you are like me, living in Scotland, with, you know, the worst thing to contend with is someone wearing a face mask. It is a great bit of work, and I have been sitting back with interest wondering what he was going to do next. Now, truth be told, I knew he had another movie out, but I didn't actually know it was Wounds. And I remember the trailer dropping for this one on Netflix and being kind of iffy on it, not really wanting to jump in, you know, with 2 feet to check out what was going on. So this is the movie that you guys settled in for. Now, I will give a heads up that Bo Ransdell spoke to me about this movie, I want to say at the beginning of the year, and he was not a fan. And that's not necessarily put me off watching it, but I knew there was something about it that didn't gel with him. Me and Bo tend to have a very similar, like, kind of hive mind on movies. Not always, there are times that we'll come out completely different opinions on setup or execution of movies. But for the most part, we tend to kind of Voltron up, so to speak, on the construction and delivery of movies. So this one here, Wounds 2019 on Netflix, written for the screen by Babak Anavari, based on the Nathan Ballingrud novel called The Visible Filth. So he's done the adaptation for the screen. He's also directed it. The movie itself stars Armie Hammer, Zazie Beetz, Carol Glusman, Christian Rankins, Brad William Henke, Ben Sanders, Alexander Biglean, Matthew Underwood, Luke Hawks, Dakota Johnson, Kerry Cahill, Richie Montgomery, Terence Rosemore, some other folks are in here. Synopsis is listed on IMDb as disturbing, mysterious things begin to happen to a bartender in New Orleans after he picks up a phone left behind at his bar. I did not like this movie. I'll put that out there at the start. We're probably going to do some spoiler stuff here, so if you've not seen it and you have Netflix, go away, check it out and come back. I am puzzled as to why this made so many kind of end of year lists last year, if I'm honest, because this to me is a fucking mess of a movie. As in, it sets up things and doesn't even begin to want to finish them. The acting isn't particularly great. No one really behaves like a human being in this movie, and it's probably his biggest crime, out with it being messy, is it is boring as fuck. So let's dissect a little bit of that, so to speak, and get into some of what Wounds doesn't do well, and then focus on a couple of positives before we swing into our grade. The central premise for this is that Armie Hammer is a kind of roguish barman, who bit of a ladies' man, bit of a wandering eye. And one night at the bar where he holds court, some kind of underagers come in, a fight breaks out, and during that fight, one of the people leave their phone behind. He lifts it up and starts kind of communicating with someone who gives him vague messages at first. This guy's called Garrett, and he's telling them things like, you know, we shouldn't have read from that book, and weird things are starting to happen. He takes his phone home, his like overly suspicious, and I'm going to say in the right girlfriend in this one, who is played by Dakota Johnson, who even she can't save this movie. I generally quite like her performances. She's a bit fucking flat in this movie, if I'm honest. So is everyone, so that's not saying anything really. Everyone is acting like they are just receiving that paycheck and just trying to get through to the closing credits. She is obviously highly suspicious, because he's had affairs in the past. It's certainly alluded that way, and there's nothing in this movie that would detract from that kind of conclusion. And what we essentially find is Armie Hammer starts investigating further into this phone, and he starts to realise that there are like decapitated heads and weird ceremonies and all the rest. He accidentally shows it to his girlfriend, who gets absorbed into this weird catatonic state as it moves over. Meanwhile, Armie Hammer is now being pursued by weird visions, bugs, voices, text messages, all the while being snarky about millennial culture and the kids these days and their mobile phones and they're crossing the road without looking both ways and they're so that's all in the background, and I'm not sure if that's put in for comedic purpose. If it is, it fails, or whether it's some sort of swipe and social commentary on quote-unquote millennials, And if that's the case, that didn't really work either, if I'm honest. And then I kind of, you know, thought to myself, Armie Hammer is a millennial. You know what I mean? He's younger than me. And I'm a millennial. So it's a bit weird seeing him on screen criticize, you know, kids for behavior when you're in the age group that you are complaining about. So, yeah, I thought that was a bit of a fucking weird little stab there. Getting older, get Wilford Brimley in complaining about millennials. That'd be worth a watch. So, yeah, the problem with this movie in terms of how it's muddled is it kind of begins to set up something quite interesting, but never really goes into it. Never really commits to anything either. There's an idea here that maybe some of what is happening with our main character Will is a cross between delusion, guilt, and some sort of, you know, evil demonic ritual, which we find out on. Here's a question: how is it that every time someone gets an answer to a demonic possession, like mythology or something on the internet, it's always on a web page that looks like someone spent 3 seconds creating? It always makes me laugh when I see that. I'm like, no one's going to take your webpage seriously. It looks like it's been fucking an Angel Fire website or something. So yeah, there's a bit of this, there's a bit of that. You know, we kind of lean into, you know, is some sort of weird ceremony or something that's been created, and this is apparently very much like It Follows transfers through mobile phone technology, because you know how demons love that. And then it'll pass on to the next person and the next person, looking for a vessel to fill. That's certainly my interpretation. Certainly the ending leans more into that. Also, there's some very much on the nose commentary about, you know, Will himself being essentially a hollow husk of a man. No real loyalty, no real love for anything, just kind of dosses about the place, working at a bar. So, and even his girlfriend, even Carrie, says that at the point where they break up, you know, you're an empty shell. And that's a bit too on the nose for the ritual that comes at the end of the movie. It sets up scares that are predictable, that aren't very effective, and you've seen done so much better in other movies. I think that was the biggest kind of gripe for me, is like all this has been done much better in other movies, whether it's something like The Ring, because there are elements of The Ring in here for sure, about the, you know, the mistrust of what you're seeing, the time that ticks down in between receiving the original phone call to ultimately the conclusion of the story. There are hints of that in here, but what it really reminded me overall is just a really shitty creepypasta. So if anyone out there has ever sat down and read a bit of creepypasta stuff on the internet, you will always, I mean, the ratio of good to bad on creepypastas is usually about 1% good, 99% shit. And there's nothing worse than the promise, the temptation of a really interesting dark story when you start reading that first paragraph and you're like, ooh, this is fucking pretty good here. And then by the middle of it, you're a bit confused, but you kind of want to read to the end of the story because you're now kind of weirdly invested and hoping it pulls up its socks and ends strong, and then find out that it shits the bed. That's kind of Wounds as a whole. There are delusions that he has that don't make any sense, that are never really properly explained. There's iconography used that's not really any detail out with a couple of paragraphs on a web screen. It heavily relies on mobile phones and text messages, and like there's a part of me where I just lose interest in that one. Like, it's that way where after the first like creepy message, you fucking switch the phone off and that's it. You don't go back to it. I actually quite like Armie Hammer as an actor. I think he's not very good in this. No one really acts like a human being, whether it's the copious amounts of alcohol this guy consumes in shots where he's drinking hard whiskey, you know, vodka, so he's mixing his drinks up and he's just drinking it like water, and it doesn't appear to have any effect on him. Like, there is no kind of, he's starting to get drunk or he's slurring his, nothing like that happens in here. There's a whole kind of setup on what effect it is having on his girlfriend, who, like I mentioned earlier on, is played by Dakota Johnson. And she's not really... She's really bad in this, actually. And I think she's... I loved her in Suspiria. And she's so fucking bad in this. But there's a whole setup of her maybe being absorbed into the mystery as well via a website. And this tunnel that appears to be like a void-like portal to somewhere else. And how it's affecting her. But we don't go into any detail on it. It's never really explained. Because why would you need an explanation? Let's just continue on with the story. And yeah, that's like... that. To me, that's the biggest crime of this movie. Is it doesn't care enough to really settle, answer, or commit to anything it sets up at all. And then it tries to do its ballsy ending at, you know, at the very end of this movie, which doesn't really make any sense at all. And, you know, I'm so checked out by then that it doesn't really have much of an impact. I think overall this is a bad movie, if I'm being honest. Now, I did promise some good things here. I think the cinematography is crisp. I actually liked some of the setups. The actual setup camera work I thought was done surprisingly well. It's an hour and a half, even though it feels a bit longer than that, it is an hour and a half, so they're aware of not dragging this story out too long. But that's it. That's literally the only good points I have for Wounds. I think it is the absolute fucking mess of a movie, and like I say, I'm not entirely sure why it was getting the press that it was. And it has me currently wondering if Babak Anivari is maybe a one-hit wonder already. That way where there's so many warning flags that have sprung upon this movie that weren't available in Under the Shadows, which I think was done like incredibly well, that I'm now thinking, is this a misstep? Is this just him not used to making movies in America? Was there too much control he had to give up? I don't know. All I know is it doesn't cohesively work as a horror movie. It feels like every cliched creepypasta you've ever checked out, and it will remind you of a million movies that are better. Wounds is not a good movie, and when it comes to giving this a grade, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to be kind of harsh on this one. 1.5 out of 5 for me. It sits just above Hated It, and just a bit stronger than Didn't Like It. This is a hard pass for me. I will never watch this movie again, and I'm quite surprised that with the other choices out there, this is what you gave me, listeners. This is what you get after the hours of entertainment I have given you for free. You return with the gift of Wounds. For shame. If you're listening to me right now, you hang your head in shame if you voted for this in the poll. Not a good movie. 1.5 out of 5. I'm closing out the show and I'm doing it right after this.
You're listening to the podcast Under the Stairs.
And you've been listening to the podcast Under the Stairs. This has been bonus episode 268, another listener choice episode. There's a multitude of ways to check out podcasts Under the Stairs. Wherever you're listening to me right now, hit subscribe on that feed. That way you never miss an episode of anything that I put out on this feed. And then check all the bases by subscribing to the Teapots Collective feed, and that way you'll never miss anything that I put on that feed, thus never missing out on anything that I record, produce and release at all. That's the easiest way to do things. Make sure you subscribe. It's the best way to support what I'm doing. Visit our website is teapotscast.com. You can buy merch to support the show by going to teapotscast.bigcartel.com. Visit us on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/teapotscast. The Teapots Collective Facebook page is facebook.com/teapotscast. You can reach out and touch myself and the Baz on the twin prongs of social media sexiness. Instagram and Twitter both can be followed at teapotscast. We're also available on Flick Chat, free and available for Android and iOS users. The join code is teapotscast. The Podcast Under the Stairs will return to you tomorrow with another one of those 80 films slasher classic reviews. We're looking at disc number 31, but until then, wherever you are, wherever the time zone is, and whatever you're up to in this big bad world of ours, please take care of yourselves out there. This is Duncan McLeish broadcasting live from Under the Stairs, and I am signing off.